For April 2nd, that's star date. Today's show was written by Diana Headley. For some free information on astronomy, send us your name and address at the University of Texas McDonald Observatory. We're in Austin, Texas. Our zip code is 78712. Now, the information is free of charge, but we do ask that you let us know what station you listen to Stardate on, would you? For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in
has been changed. The new number is...
Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Ring damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, my friends in Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
Is in my head.
not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
Sorry, we're having difficulties.
Good evening, operator. I'm looking for the number for the People's Democratic Resistance Movement for the expulsion of defenestrating anti-apartheid attachés from Southeast Asia, please. Hello? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Where is it located?
That's the PDRMEDAASA. Hello?
Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I'm asking you where it's located.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. It's in New York. It should be in New York anyway.
The initials are PD.
PDRMEDAASA, the People's Democratic Resistance Movement for the expulsion of defenestrating anti-apartheid attachés from Southeast Asia, please.
Who's all that?
Excuse me? Do you have the number, operator?
I'm sorry, sir, but I am checking the listing. Can you please hold?
Sure, no problem.
More than happy to hold.
Do you have a location for this?
It should be in Midtown Manhattan.
You don't know what street?
No, I don't have a street. It should be in the 50s, though.
Give me the first four names of this company again.
Well, it's not a company, it's a movement, but People's Democratic Resistance Movement. But there may be more than one of those, you see.
Well, I don't have anything for it. That's really why I was asking to repeat it again. I don't have anything for it.
Does that mean they're unlisted?
No, that means I don't have a listing.
Which, does that mean that they don't have a phone, maybe?
Sir, I really don't know, but I don't have anything in my directory for them. They could have a phone, they may have a phone, they may not. I don't know.
All right, well, I guess it's up to me then to sort it out. All right, thank you. You've been very helpful. Good night.
Happy Easter.
Yes. Don't you think operators are really, well, nice, I guess is the word. The only word I can think of. Nice.
Nice?
Yeah.
Only if you ask them an easy question.
Well, that was an easy question, don't you think?
Yeah, tell me.
The People's Democratic Resistance Movement for... I mean...
Their phone number won't be listed.
Well, I've been trying to find them for years, actually. But, what do we have here?
Eric, you can't even get the phone number for the American-Soviet Friendship Association. You think you're going to
That's
have
that... That's because there isn't one.
I belong to it.
I rest my case. Where are they? What do you mean I can't get it?
Downtown.
Are you telling
me? Try it. Go ahead.
Okay, fine. Here we go. Oops, sorry about the beeps, folks. You're not supposed to hear beeps on the air. The American what?
New York chapter of the American-Soviet Friendship Association.
Yes, operator? I need a number for the American-Soviet Friendship Association, please. Yes, it should be in Manhattan.
Friendship. Anything. There's no listing.
There's no listing for American Soviet anything?
None.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, thank you anyway, then.
Okay.
Good night.
Take care.
You're right. Well, maybe they don't exist.
Maybe they don't.
Maybe it's a figment of our imagination.
It could be a figment of our imagination, yeah.
Well.
Okay. So what's tonight's topic?
Well, this is, let me first of all introduce the program. This is Brain Damage, in case you haven't already guessed. This is Eric Corley over here. And
Joe Evangelista here.
Joe Evangelista, yes.
I see. This is the weapon, huh? This is the weapon you're going to use when we start talking about stuff.
What?
You're going to quash my sentences by turning up the reverb.
Now, would I do a thing like that to you?
Of course you would.
No, we're not that immature.
Uh-huh,
right here.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Give the oppressed the power and they become the oppressed.
Well, yes.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Huh? Sure, put him in control.
He's
a great friend of the people till they make him king.
We have...
That's part of the ideology, though, folks. You have to realize that. To defend the oppressors until you get a chance to do some oppressing yourself.
We have German marches here.
German marks? I'll take them.
German marches.
They're on the rise.
We have the
news.
That's
just because of 40 years of liberal policies. It goes back to the New Deal. The dollar's now worth nothing because we're not allowed to have any gold.
Stardate April 2nd.
Oh, get out of here, Joel. You've had your time.
Did he?
Yeah, well, he's on three times a day. Well, twice on weekends.
He's a popular guy around here.
Yeah.
Did I notice my volume going down? Eric, are you turning my volume down?
Would I do a thing like that?
Your volume is not going down.
Oh, okay. Oh, now you're distorting my voice.
I wouldn't do a thing like that either.
Wait a second.
That's what you're saying.
21st century schizoid man.
I mean, you're doing this to my voice.
This has been a wild last couple of days, don't you think? I mean, yesterday was... It was three things all rolled up in one. It was Passover,
mm-hmm.
It was Good Friday, and April Fool's
Well,
Day.
This is the 1980s.
April Fool's Day.
It's the spirit of economy. It's like going to a sale, you know? Crunch Passover, crunch Easter. I mean, I think there was a sale at Bloomingdale's, too. Just crunch them all together into one day. Get it out of the way. Get your obligations out of the way.
Now, tonight...
I mean, quick and easy, that's what we're after.
Tonight, we move the clocks ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's all done at once, Eric.
It's incredible, all the things that are happening. I just can't keep up with it. And I'm not involved in any one of them. That's the most amazing thing.
Oh, no?
No, I mean, I didn't do anything...
What are you, some godless Soviet?
I didn't do anything religious yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I guess I'll move my clock ahead.
Well, I can't show
you. I probably won't get around to moving my clock ahead.
You don't have to brag about not doing anything religious. That's like bragging about doing something religious.
I mean, late tomorrow afternoon when I get up,
I mean, oh, boy, hey, look at me. I'm the happy atheist, folks.
I'll say, my God.
Just slap me in the face with it. Oh, my God. Sure, you can say my God, but you don't believe in him. That's great. What does that mean?
It means it's time for the news.
Oh, look at that. Go ahead.
What do you think the first words of the news are?
The first words of the
first
news?
First words.
I'll give you a hint. We disavow.
No. This is the Associated
Press.
We
disavow any of this.
There is no we involved in the Soviet... In
the Soviet press. That's right.
The
there is no we
press,
disavow. Oh, I'm so
Soviet
glad. Are we going to start talking about that?
Well, I just happen
to have
through
a few
it.
News items. So. Yes?
Well, would you like to give out the phone number before the marching
phone
band
number
starts again?
Of what? My home phone number?
Late. No, our phone number.
Yes, I was looking in the New York Personals the other day... I'm sorry, we're on mic. What?
Our phone number. Give out our phone number if you know our phone number.
632-6901.
That's correct, 632-6901. What happens when people call that number, Joe?
Right now?
Yeah.
It's right. Oh, the name of this program is Single Out and Humiliate. You
That's
call
right.
this number, it's your own fault.
You'll get what's coming to you.
Listen, no one can escape responsibility. You call this number, you're incurring the wrath of the universe. Unless, of course, you hang up. But you can't keep running away from your problems.
They get to leave an hour early.
Those are the first words.
No, those are the last words of the news.
Oh, is this a game show now?
No, I'm just hoping to get
there. This is brain damage.
I'm just hoping to get to that point.
We're addressing the important issues of the world, and you're saying, I mean, okay, I'll take the news for
$20. Joe. It was a preview, okay? It was a preview of what's to come. I was previewing the last words of the newscast so people would have something to look forward to.
Oh, I apologize.
I mean, for God's sake, people don't have much to look forward to these days, you know?
Wait a second, then let me preview the highlight story, which is we have news from the German Democratic Republic, and they are trying to work out a way to breed poppies that don't have any morphine. That's the subject of this article. Yeah,
what
this, I get a lot of news from the GDR across my desk every week, and that's one of the items of interest. So, you can hear that. Eric will read that, or I will read that.
Oh my goodness!
It's true. It's amazing. Yes, they want to breed a poppy that only has codeine and not morphine. Okay.
Uh huh.
The idea being that morphine's addicting. Of course, what they don't tell you in the news items that codeine's addicting too, but. Go ahead.
Everything.
Hello?
Okay.
Yes, operator, I need overseas information, please, for London and in England.
Hold on.
Thank you.
Are you going to call 10 Downing Street?
would I do a thing like that?
Excuse me, can I help you?
Hi, I need overseas information, please, for London.
One moment.
Thank you.
You always must thank operators.
Especially overseas operators.
Well, hello. This is not an overseas operator.
It will be.
Eventually.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please.
Wait a second. That you just asked for information.
That means the operator didn't dial it correctly.
No, that means that somebody heard our broadcast. They know you're going to ask a political question. You
I'm
see, ever since the divestiture, man, you know, you're forced to interfere with private industry, and look what happens. You can't even get an overseas call now.
Mm. Oh, there we go. There's an English ring. I've ever heard one.
Whatever happened? Hello? You're going to call your stockbroker, Eric?
I don't have a stockbroker in England.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's in Switzerland.
Do you realize it's Easter Sunday in England right now, even as we speak?
Happy Easter.
Yeah.
You should wish her a happy Easter, then.
Probably why they're not answering the phone.
Yeah.
Is there anybody out there? They get to leave an hour early.
I am curious now.
Here we go.
Yeah?
Hello?
Can I help you?
Is this London?
Yeah.
I need a phone number for the People's Democratic Resistance Movement for the expulsion of defenestrating anti-apartheid attachés from Southeast Asia, please. And I'm looking for the English chapter of that.
The what? The People's what?
The People's Democratic Resistance Movement for the expulsion...
Don't be listening under that whole name. Hold on.
Hello?
I've nothing listed under People's Democratic.
Well, maybe it's listed as the PDRMEDAASA.
PDRM?
EDAASA.
Sorry, say that again. PD.
PDRM, as in Mary, EDAASA.
No, nothing.
Nothing at all?
No.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, thanks anyway, then.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Cheerio, I guess I should say.
You didn't say Happy Easter.
Want me to call back?
Yes.
I'll get to it. Let's get to the news.
Okay.
I still haven't guessed what the first words of the news are.
Okay. May I guess what the first words of the news are?
They're rather obscene to many
people. April 3rd.
Uh-uh.
April 2nd?
No.
April 1st?
No.
It wouldn't be news anymore.
No.
All right, go ahead. Read the news.
President Reagan. What?
Ladies words. And gentlemen, Eric Corley has just burst into flames from for uttering holy words.
President Reagan has canceled Easter this year.
That's a concession. That's a
right
concession.
Here. It says it right.
That's a concession
here.
To the liberal elements in Congress who want to remove all artifacts of religion.
All right, we'll
they
get
want to see
that
one. It's the one government movement.
No.
One government, one religion. We have to worship Bog. Bog is bunch of guys. That's what they would like us to worship. Rather than God, they want us to worship Bog. It just means bunch of guys.
Then
the mass can just become a bog sat.
We do have some phone calls.
Which I've learned is a bunch of guys sitting around a table.
If we ever get to through the news, we have some phone calls that are sitting here waiting. But let's get out the number again.
Phone calls cannot sit.
Well, these ones are 632-6901. Remember, they get to leave an hour early. President Reagan has rejected any possible U.S. military action to remove military strongman Manuel Noriega. I guess you can call him a military...
With all the money they waste on foreign aid, can't they just pay a mafia hitman to go in and wipe the guy out?
Military heavyweight. Let's call him that instead of a strongman.
I mean, we... You know, all the money we wasted with Khomeini and stuff, we could have just paid a bunch of mafia hitmen to go in and wipe all those people out.
Well, they're very busy.
I mean, we can't arrest them anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, every time we arrest them, we let them off in, you know, a couple of years or something.
Might as well make them do
something
useful.
We'd rather catch poor guys out on the street with 2 grams of crack than somebody who's got a, you know, somebody who's floating, who's partially floating some of our social programs by recirculating this money that he makes off of selling.
So what do you think we should do with him?
With who?
With,
the mafia hitmen?
No, Noriega.
Use them. Noriega?
Yeah.
Well, I would like, you know, I mean, look, Stinger missiles only cost $50,000 for one unit.
Yeah.
I mean, and look, so you know the guy's in a particular building at a particular time. right?
Uh-huh.
So you get one of those Afghan guys who know how to shoot the Stinger missiles, flying by in a helicopter, bap, 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 the building is gone, and you start all over.
Well, anyway, he has...
It's a simple solution.
Presidential spokesman Marlon Fitzwater says several offensive plans, or offensive plans, I guess, have been discussed.
Probably offensive to anyone with common sense.
But says to this point they've all been ruled out.
What do you think we have a CIA for?
1,300 U.S. servicemen...
The only country where the secret intelligence organization is blasted across the newspapers. It's like a Laurel and Hardy show.
Well, now,
guess what they're doing now?
I can't help but notice that you're interrupting the newscast.
I'm sorry.
And I just want to say...
Is that like interrupting the mail?
That's the first thing they always do when they move in to take over a country. They always interrupt the newscast and say, don't say this, say that. You know, at first it's friendly suggestions, but,
mm-hmm.
but then it gets, you know, downright annoying, and people are always on your case about saying certain things,
mm-hmm.
and you just cannot get a word said.
That's right. And then they promise free elections.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. sometimes.
And we'll be coming live from Managua later on.
All right. Well, 1,300 U.S. servicemen are arriving in Panama next week as part of an effort to protect the thousands of Americans living in Panama. Of which I don't think any of us are affiliated with, are we?
Well,
thousands of Americans.
Speak for yourself.
A report in today's Los Angeles Times said Secretary of State George Shultz had pressed for direct U.S. action to either kidnap Noriega or...
We're going to waste money. We're going to have to feed the guy.
Yeah.
Jeez.
He eats like a maniac.
He eats like a strongman.
Well, strongmen have to eat too, you know. Or foment a revolt. That's a new one, isn't it?
Foment a revolt?
I haven't heard that phrase in recent memory.
Foment a revolt.
But that his plan was strongly opposed by the Defense Department and the CIA. In Rome today... Shultz refused to comment on the L.A. Times story. What do you think of that?
If I were Shultz, I would refuse. What's he going to say?
I don't know.
If he says no, then everybody will think he's not thinking about trying to wipe the guy out. And if he says yes, everybody's going to say, what an idiot.
Well, Shultz did lay out hope for his new peace mission to the Middle East tomorrow. Shultz says he has a feeling in his bones, and they put the word bones in quotes. I don't know why they did that.
They should have put feeling in his bones, the whole phrase in quotes.
What difference would it make if they didn't put this in quotes? It's one word.
Well, it could be a sly, dirty joke on the part of the guy that typed out the teletype you're reading.
I think they're trying to say that he's not human.
he's a jellyfish? Are they calling him a jellyfish?
I would say so, because if they put it in quotes like that, that's saying that he doesn't really have bones.
Unfortunately, I think the people who do the teletype are just probably like... Well, never mind.
Well, why don't we have somebody in the news department get in touch with the Associated Press? Find out just what they mean by
this. Why don't you call the Associated Press, Eric?
I'm on the air.
Eric, you call London to find out the Central Belly Button Lint Association.
Joel's here again.
Tonight and Sunday evening.
Someone's got to kick Joel out of here. Thank you. Do you notice how the Germans have have changed their beat?
Well, you know, Irish-German marriages are quite common, actually.
Let's see. Shultz did lay out hope for his new peace mission to... Oh, I said this right. To the Middle East tomorrow. Shultz says he has a feeling in his quote-unquote bones...
Can you say déjà vu?
...that there's a solution to the unending violence.
Déjà vu. That's like having a room over the Seine, isn't it?
But he offered no basis for his optimism. You know, your headphones are resting on the record.
I think it's an illusion.
That's why it's slowing down like that. More blood was spilled in Israel's occupied territories today. The Israeli army says four Palestinians were gunned down as they pelted troops with rocks, knives, and...
Molotov cocktails, which you don't read about in the media because the media is just a little bit predisposed with a certain opinion.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think it sells more newspapers to say, look at the horrors going on, than, hey, let's just examine this situation intelligently. We already talked about this, though. I don't want to rehash the last show.
Yeah. Well, let's see. So far, the score is Palestinians something like 120, Israel 1.
Are you talking about media? Like media?
Talking about people who've been
killed. Media brownie points.
One Israeli has been killed in the last 3 months.
And what were your sources? The People's Democratic Association for Defenestrating.
No, defenestrating
journalists.
I think Israeli radio will say the same thing. Only one Israeli soldier has died as a result of all this unrest.
But how do you define how a person has died from the result of unrest? I mean, if a crowd of people run up and kill someone, yes, he's died directly as a result of unrest. But, I mean, if someone has a car accident, if someone's Jeep was sabotaged, I mean, are you going to report every death? I mean, how do they define? I mean, only one soldier died in Israel in all this time during this unrest. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, he was shot.
Oh, I see. Now they define death by being shot. I mean, maybe people have been missing.
I'm saying that's how he died. He died by being shot.
Maybe he was the only one that some journalist saw. So they were able to report.
Well,
you can believe
this. I think
this
is the Israeli army.
I mean, you remember the death reports from Vietnam. If we really killed that many people, there wouldn't be a country left. It just works the reverse way.
Well, we'll talk about this after we finish the news.
No, we'll talk about something else. Nobody wants to hear us talk about the same thing we talked about. It wasn't 2 weeks ago.
It was six weeks ago. But a lot has changed.
My brain is decaying.
The Soviets apparently aren't expecting to see the superpower leaders sign a long-range missile pact at the Moscow summit next month. Well-placed Soviet sources say officials no longer believe the document will be signed when the president comes to their capital for a meeting with the Soviet leader Gorbachev. The sources say they no longer detect any American urgency to get the treaty finished before the summit. Another industrial spill is fouling...
The nature of this treaty?
Excuse me?
The nature of this treaty?
Nature of what treaty?
The one that's not going to be passed.
The sources say...
You mean the truce between Israel and Egypt?
No, this is Soviet treaties, a long-range...
Oh, a Soviet treaty. Oh, you mean a...
a long-range missile pact.
Oh, a pact, a Soviet pact. It doesn't matter whether a Soviet pact is ever signed or not. I mean, what do they care?
You're on brain damage.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, who's this?
Vicky.
Vicky who?
Vicky from upstate New York.
That's right.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. Are you in upstate New York now?
Well, no, I came to Long Island to turn my clocks ahead.
Oh. Well, there you go. That's dedication for you.
These are the people that call brain damage.
Do you happen to be listening now?
No, I'm talking now.
Well, no.
Oh,
I meant before you dialed the phone. Were you listening to us then?
Well, certainly.
Oh, well then, okay. Go ahead and say something for the folks at home, like you, that are listening.
Can you sing 20 Flight Rock by Eddie Cochran?
No, that's enough, Joe.
Sorry.
No, I wouldn't do that. I don't have much to say.
Except
hello.
Except hello.
Yeah. You know, Eric, you did a really rotten thing to me once, and maybe I should try and get you back for it.
Oh, yes,
do
remember,
it.
I remember what I did, too. I remember this, and I guess I deserve whatever is coming up.
What do you think you deserve?
To be humiliated, embarrassed on the air, to...
Wait a second. Is this...
What?
Okay, would you like some explanation?
This sounds like one of the things you read about in Penthouse.
Well,
What's going on here? I think
for the benefit of the listeners, we should provide an explanation, and it would probably be best for you, Vicky, to do that.
Well, I was doing a show on the air once, and I was doing the Leftover Turkey Day show. Mm-hmm. Part of it, my part is a returning once former in-depth WUSD air personality for a while.
Uh-huh.
And I came back and I was doing some crazy things. And Eric called me up and he was at the Long Island Railroad Station in Port Jefferson.
No, Stony Brook.
And he proceeded to harass me and I was going to hang up on him, but it was kind of funny. And it took me a while to catch on because I was thinking about so many other things, like the record that was going too fast or, you know,
uh-huh,
things. And he proceeded to... What's that word? Harangue me with all these obnoxious questions.
Well, no, it was the same question. I kept asking you the same question over and over again.
And that question was?
How is the weather up there in upstate New York? Or something to that effect. I kept asking the same question in a slightly different way, and you must have answered it at least four times before you started
Vicky,
not answering it
Vicky,
anymore.
Vicky, you're losing. Vicky, you're losing. You better gain ground. Eric is doing it again.
You see, Vicky, I've already told you what the question is. I don't repeat myself when people ask me the same question
twice. Hang up on him. It's your only chance. It's your only chance. He's doing it to you.
He's doing what to me?
The same thing he did when you were on the air.
Well, I'm not harassing her. She's harassing me now.
No, he's harassing you.
You've turned
it around. You little argument twister. Let the girl have her damn revenge.
If she can put one over on me, I'll... Going to drive my friend to the train station. Bye. Oh.
Okay, so long, Eric.
Thanks for dropping
by.
Bye.
Bye.
See you later.
Okay, bye.
Oh, we had some people here that we didn't introduce.
Marianne?
Not Marianne.
Oh.
Marianne?
No.
Is Marianne here?
Marianne's not here to the best of my abilities, no. Knowledge, that is.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So, Eric?
Yes, Vicky. I was going to call you, actually, because I wanted to speak to you.
Your tape's coming. Eric, how's the weather there?
Well, that's a very good question. I happen to have a weather forecast in front of me. I can say right now, it's 8 degrees Celsius. That's 46 on the Fahrenheit scale.
What is that in Kelvin?
The weather forecast for tonight.
Pelvic scale.
I wanted to know what the temperature was in Kelvin.
Well, let's see. That's 273 plus 8. It would be 281 degrees Kelvin.
And how's the temperature in the studio?
In the studio we have 24 Celsius degrees, and that comes out to be 75 on the good old Fahrenheit scale.
Is it the same temperature in the newsroom?
We don't have a thermometer in the newsroom. Vicky, you know that.
The same temperature in the record library?
We only have a thermometer in this room. What is this?
Why don't you bring it around to all those rooms?
Wow, there's a flute in here.
keep 6 phone call and go to the next one.
Eric?
We don't have a next one.
Eric?
Yes.
How many people do you think listen to this show?
Well, I would imagine it's going down right now. We could probably draw a little chart up, except we don't have the abilities to do that. We don't have pens
and
paper.
Why don't you tell me what the weather will be?
Well, the weather today, wait a minute, this is outdated. The weather for tonight, cloudy with fog. Oh, I love fog. Fog and chance of drizzle, low in the low 40s. Chance of precipitation, 30%. Sunday, cloudy with a chance of drizzle. High in the upper 50s, well inland to about 50 near the ocean.
Did you say a chance of drivel?
A chance of drizzle. Chance of precipitation, 40%. The outlook for Monday, chance of showers. No warnings, no advisories, no threats for Long Island waters at the present time. Thank you for calling.
Are you sure that wasn't drivel?
It could have been. Could have been. So have you set your clocks ahead yet?
As a matter of fact, when I walked into my bedroom, I turned on the light switch, which is attached to the radio, and I heard you.
Uh-huh.
As I was listening to you guys drivel,
uh-huh,
I was setting my clock, and I was thinking, I better set it ahead now so I don't forget when I get right into bed.
Uh-huh.
And because you were talking about being an atheist or setting your clocks ahead, which you probably wouldn't be doing for a while.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've listened very intently.
Well, that's good. We need more listeners like that.
Listeners.
What?
Intent listeners.
Intent listeners. Well, most of our listeners are very intent,
yeah,
with whatever it is they're doing at the moment.
Okay.
But,
I think I'm going to say goodbye.
Okay, well, how long are you down here for?
Until Monday morning.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to visit my grandmother.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going back up to know more stuff in Schenectady, New York.
Okay, well, I will try to talk to you this weekend then, sometime.
That would be quite nice. Joe, can you make some kind of funny impression sounds for me?
Pardon me, some funny
impression sounds, like a strange voice, perhaps. Or maybe somebody could come into the studio, a guest of ours, perhaps.
And who would you like to see?
Oh, someone foreign.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, let's see if we can conjure someone up.
I'll tell you a story while you're waiting.
Okay.
One of the things that we do at this TV station that I work at,
yes,
is we have a satellite which receives Soviet TV.
Yes.
It's really funny. It's very, very funny.
Well, and do you receive vremya? Vremya.
Vremya.
That means time. Time. In Russian, vremya means time.
Is that what it means?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, so it's like that Time magazine of the airwaves.
No, it's like time to listen. You don't listen, that's it. Time to go home. If you're home already, it's time to go to sleep. You listen, vremya.
What's your name?
What? Oh, my name. I cannot tell you. I'm masked speaker. In the spirit of glasnost, I am here to reveal inadequacies in Soviet system.
Good luck.
Thank you. It's true. Look, I have article here. The headline. Moscow's toilet czar loses bonus over mess. Apparently, the chief manager of Moscow toilets, Viktor Prasolov, was reprimanded and lost his bonus, but not his job, for allowing the city's 343 public lavatories to fall into an unspeakable state. Will you take my pen, please? This man came in and took my pen. What is this? I'm here to expose inadequacies in Soviet system, and this man come and take my pen. It's my personal pen. This is private property.
Sir, continue, please. You will answer the question.
What was the question, sir? What was your question?
Repeat the question for the gentleman.
Oh, yes. You want to know about Moscow toilets. These public lavatories, of which there are approximately 300, they serve 12 million people. 12 million people, 300 toilets. Very fair.
12 million people?
In Moscow. Yeah. Da. Moscow. Moskva. Moskva, yes. Anyway, this man lost his bonus, but he did not lose his job, because we give him every chance to improve situation.
Maybe they'll give him a toilet as a bonus.
Oh, yes. Moscow toilets, very good. Much better than toilets in New York City subway.
Objection.
Overruled.
Why?
I see your American lawyer programs in Soviet Union. Very funny.
Why?
They expose inadequacies in American legal system, like how many stupid people get to be lawyers.
Why are we talking about toilets on the air?
Funny story about toilets.
Because it's time to... Yes, I'm sorry?
Would you like to hear a funny story about toilets?
But of course.
I had a friend of mine who had an exchange student from India come to visit, and they have a different construction for their toilets in some foreign countries.
Mm-hmm.
And she, every time she went into the bathroom, there were these footsteps on the toilet rim.
Because they squat.
We had to explain it to her, and it was kind of embarrassing.
Well, you know, some people, they cannot face these things, but it's quite natural, yes.
I think I'm going to hang up now, because if I say anything else, like, people will come and say, God, you got awfully weird on the radio the other night.
Weird. Who got weird?
I don't know.
Certainly none of our guests.
What?
That's the question.
Well, Vicky, thanks for calling.
Have fun, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
That would be nice.
And everybody else should call up, because I'm going to lay down now and listen for a while, and it's my turn to be entertained.
Oh, okay.
Well, we will try
our
best.
Why don't you come here? You could be entertained here, too.
Thank you, no.
I see.
A wise choice.
Yes, a wise choice.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ah, yes. Our number is 632-6901.
I don't think people are calling because we're not being serious.
No, we do have calls.
We're being chastised for being silly.
There are calls here, but I would
like to... You're being very silly, boys, and it is not very good.
I'd like to
finish. I'm quite sorry. Your time is up. You're being preempted.
It is now time for the ethnological chapter of our program to begin. The managers of WUSB strictly apologize for this rampant unprofessionalism, which began at 12 o'clock midnight with the Joe Evangelista program and will probably continue until Monday morning. So, we again apologize, and will now begin the serious part of our program, Celtic Music.
The news.
Played at 78.
The news, read by me. Another industrial spill is fouling the Ohio River system.
Oh, is that like the industrial spill that's fouling the Massachusetts government? It speaks Spanish, you know. Oh, sorry.
The Coast Guard says a 70-mile-long slick of what appears to be diesel fuel is covering the river from Cincinnati to Louisville, Kentucky. Experts are trying to find the source of the leak. Earlier this year, a mammoth fuel spill from the Pittsburgh area forced water rationing along the Take that again, please. Make sure you cut this out.
Take two.
Rationing along the Ohio, affecting thousands of residents.
Sounds like an old folk song.
Could a Dukakis-Jackson ticket win the White House?
Sorry. Could Ferraro and Vaccaro get some more real estate in Queens?
Well, we'll question you on that later, Joe. But anyway.
You know, this is...
Could a Dukakis-Jackson ticket win the White House?
Oh, this...
You know, no one's made the joke of like... How Dukakis does in the caucuses. No one makes that joke.
I think he's got a lot of friends in the caucuses.
No,
he's a Democrat, you know.
The caucus. You get it? You know, it's like, it sounds the same. But no one has done that yet, and I think it's about time we did.
The caucuses?
Look, if there's somebody running...
You mean like Caucasian?
Called Du Primary,
Caucasian,
right?
Isn't he?
If like Du Primary
I
is
think
running.
That's a real absurdity. You got some rich white boy coming and speaking Spanish, acting like he understands the problem of the inner-city Hispanics just because he speaks their language. Sure, that's he's going to make them vote for him. What a great premise.
I agree.
It's a good argument.
Could a Dukakis-Jackson ticket win the White House? A poll in this week's U.S. News and World Report indicates it's possible. The survey says the two would beat George Bush regardless of his running mate. If Bush picks Illinois Governor James Thompson as his VP, those polls say they prefer the Dukakis-Jackson slate 47-42%.
This was reported in the Whole Earth Times, right?
U.S. News and World Report. Yes, a bunch of granolas run that magazine. We all know that. The afternoon is about to get longer. Daylight savings time begins tomorrow at 2 a.m. local time.
One of the more harebrained schemes of Benjamin Franklin.
When clocks across the nation... Did he invent daylight savings time, too?
Something like that, yeah. You know, he and Thomas Edison, they're responsible for everything.
Clocks across the nation will be advanced an hour. Some complain about losing an hour's sleep. But they are quickly silenced by many firefighters, policemen, and others who work those early morning shifts. And they
push them, beat them, and arrest them.
They were welcome to change, among other things. They get to leave an hour early.
Oh,
that's it then.
That's Eric. Eric concluded the news. You sly devil.
I got through the news. It's all over now.
It isn't all over. We have to read the news from the GDR.
The GDR, the German Democratic Republic.
Right there, I brought it in. I told you.
Poppy species tree from morphine?
Free from morphine.
It says tree from morphine.
I know, it's a typo.
Don't they know how to type?
You can just read the...
East German news? Why am I reading East German news? This is a boring story.
Program. What?
No, this is a long, boring story about drug abuse with trees.
No, it isn't.
How can a tree have morphine in it?
please.
It says poppy species tree from morphine. All right, poppy species free from morphine. Even if I read that,
mm-hmm.
It means poppies.
Poppies.
Why are poppies being addicted to morphine? It's not fair.
No, it's not fiend.
Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yo, what's up, the warrior, Eric, see?
Yes.
Next now, wasn't it?
Hey, well, what's up, Jack Jerry? What?
Rod ready yet?
Uh-huh.
Yo.
Rod?
Eric!
Yo!
Rastafari, watch out to you, boy.
Hey!
Okay, go ahead, Mom.
Me and say, well, you're impressed. My young impression rocks, Mom.
Of course, Mom.
Well, I'll take a smoke first. What?
How are?
Yes, sir. Rock, Mom. You're a dry impression of rocks, Mom, if you're Rasta.
Uh-huh.
You want a Russian version or a regular version of Rocks Marvin?
Well, we can look for it.
Rocks Marvin, did you work on USB now?
Uh-huh.
USB, RGI, or USB. I'm pretty sure Rocks Marvin. Rocks Marvin! Rocks Marvin! What are you here? Eric! Eric!
Yo.
Wait up for the guitar, Bernard. Screw it, Rasta.
Oh, I get it.
Guitar, Bernard. You draw something for the guitar. Screw it, Rasta.
Yes, you have my undivided attention.
Divided between Cyrus Vance and Warren Christopher.
Hi, yes.
You know, tell me what impression you want of Rocks Marvin?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
You want a general impression?
Yes, go right ahead.
I want a Russian version.
He wants a Russian version.
A Russian version of what?
Rocks Marvin and Easy.
Oh!
Ross Marvin, Easy Dread.
Ross Mike in the GDR, he said.
Ross Mike in the GDR?
Yeah, Ross Mike in the GDR. We must, what was that? Seek a political solution, what did you say?
Which
takes into account the interests of all significant groups in Nicaragua. I understand, okay. Sure.
Nicaragua?
Yeah. Nicaragua.
Such a solution must begin with the replacement of the present government.
Oh, my poor be.
With a traditional government, a transitional government of national reconciliation, right?
No.
Which would be a clear break with the past.
A joke. That's more guy a joke.
It would consist of individuals.
No, man, no individuals.
Who enjoy the support and confidence of the widest possible spectrum of Nicaraguans.
No, Nicaragua.
Such a government would bring about a ceasefire, I understand, yes, and proceed to build a base for a free and representative political system. I understand, that's perfectly fine.
What is perfectly fine? What is really perfectly fine? Now, accomplished.
By this resolution, an overwhelming consensus of the nation.
What about it perfectly fine?
Of this hemisphere have reached an agreement on several important propositions. The conduct? Of the Nicaraguan government is the fundamental cause of the tragic situation faced by the Nicaraguan people. And
I'm sorry, your time is up.
Eric,
that's pretty good. I like this caller. Go ahead. The anti-contra...
He doesn't want to talk about Nicaragua.
That's what he's... No, he is talking about it.
But you don't want to, do you, sir? I think he's getting very angry. Doesn't he sound very angry?
No, he sounds like he's talking about this.
Yeah, he's angry already.
Oh,
there's nothing we can do about this. Well, I'm trying.
He has stuff on the Nicaraguan stock exchange, and he's worried about it.
Oh, man.
I mean, people yell at me all the time for things, and it's not my fault, okay? I don't have no say in it.
Eric.
Go ahead. But you're going to have to be civil. All right. I can understand that, but...
Can our readers understand?
We don't have readers. We're a radio station.
Well, Eric.
Understand?
And the studio of the guitar boy.
Yeah.
Nicaragua, that's probably been from. rugged.
Oh, I get it.
Okay.
For many people who oppose aid to Nicaraguan resistance have on other occasions wholeheartedly supported intervention. Against Somoza, obviously, but also in the...
Well,
I see. Thank you.
Let him on side. See? Hey, Rasta.
Okay. Sir, we could talk about this all night, but we do have other callers waiting, and I do want to thank you for expressing your opinions. And, okay.
Excuse me.
It's a date. You got it.
Yes, excuse me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if he's disturbed you. This is King's Park Psychiatric Center. We had someone call and he got to a phone by mistake. I'm sorry. Goodbye.
Oh, well, that's all right then. Keep your dial tuned to 90.1 FM. I mean, it's good for you folks. Oh, no. They sent us a dial tone.
632-6901. 632-6901.
Speaking of King's Park. Every time I drive through King's Park at night, I get lost, and I always end up in the middle of that place. What do you think that means?
I think it means what you've been doing is driving around on the grounds. Eric, how did you even get here? Did they let you out on special pass?
The thing is, you know, like I drive my car to, say, the Huntington train station or something, and I try to drive back here. I always make a wrong turn. And do you know how scary it is to suddenly find yourself in the middle of a huge mental institution in the middle of the night when there's not even a moon?
Yeah, I went to Stony Brook.
Good point. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Tanner Gober.
Oh, I knew it'd be only a matter of time before he called. Well, go ahead, if you don't mind Greek music in back of you.
Who is this?
It's Andrew Goldberg.
What's this other guy doing with you?
Excuse me?
What's this other guy doing with you?
Well, you see, he's just here. His name is Joe. And, he is, what would you call yourself, Joe?
Just Joe.
He's just Joe.
I'm just here to stimulate the discussion between opposing viewpoints.
Yes, Joe.
Or perhaps just to stimulate some, what you might call, thoughts, if you can call them that, from Eric, from myself, from the listening audience. Something to talk about, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
That's pretty much what I do, and that's about it, you know. Just try to get something going, yeah?
I have a couple questions.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Does your, boss of the radio station actually let you call London information? You know, that could, some phone calls like that could run up to, $10.
Well, no, you see, my friend, you are misinformed. You know why? Calls to information overseas are free. That's right. Calls to information overseas are free. For some reason, they cost money locally, but when you call overseas, it's no charge incurred because they can't figure out who to charge it to. They can't figure... because it can't be charged to England, it can't be charged to the United States. There's some reason for it, but that's one thing very few people know.
I mean, you're the phone expert, but it was once explained to me that places where the phone company expects you to have the phone book from, you get charged for calling information.
True.
I mean, that's a bad English sentence, okay? I'm sorry, English is not normally that bad, but the idea is that if they think you have a phone book for that place, they'll charge you.
Well, except...
That's why if you call California information, it doesn't cost any money.
After the breakup of AT&T, they started charging for information to any part of the country, so it costs you 60 cents no matter where, and you can't get phone books for California for free anymore. Well, I don't think you ever could, but you do have to pay 60 cents.
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Because I haven't been getting charged.
Well, have you been calling information?
Yeah.
Then something's wrong. You should be getting charged.
Now the phone company heard this, of course. I'll be getting retroactive billing.
No, the phone company monitors everything we say because we do mention things like this occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Are they monitoring this right now?
Definitely, of course.
But who's monitoring it since the divestiture?
Well, it gets monitored by the NSA, and they distribute it.
What's the NSA? I mean, there's a great way you can go with that acronym, and it probably fits them.
No such agency.
Oh, the National Society of Insulting Things That Begin With A. I'm sorry, what else did our caller want to know?
I wanted to know one thing. I'm really involved with wrestling.
With what?
Wrestling.
Oh, wrestling.
Wrestling.
WWF.
Do you have any pictures of Ricky Steamboat?
What is your...
No, I want to know. Because a friend of mine is also into wrestling, but she lives in Italy, and she can't get any pictures of Ricky Steamboat. I was wondering if you knew how I can get some pictures of him.
I have 1,000 of them.
Do you really?
I have a subscription to every wrestling magazine there is.
Really? If you have an extra one, I mean...
Yeah.
Could you send one to me here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Do you know our address?
His name is Just Joe, care of WUSB.
You can do Joe E.
Joe E.
Of course, you have to do the program and you tell me the address.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, boy, that'd be great.
Okay. I really appreciate that. What did you want to know about wrestling? I mean, I can't really tell you much. You probably know more than I do.
But, do you think it's, fake or anything? I mean, everyone says it's fake, but, you know, I just watched WrestleMania 4.
Mm-hmm.
I got it pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't, you know, I don't know how it could be fake.
Well, I'll tell you this. The men, I mean, the shape those guys are in, right? They're obviously really that strong, and they can really pick each other up and throw each other around. And sometimes I think they really do hurt each other, and I would guess that the championship, you know, bouts are probably not fake.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think it's all fake, if you ask me. They never seem to get
hurt.
Well,
you see, the thing is, I'm sorry, what was Dan, is that his name?
No, this is Andrew.
Oh, Andrew, sorry. Andrew, it's like, you can't really say, it's all opinion. In some ways, it's played up, you know? It's like you'll notice the guys stamp their feet a lot of times when they hit each other.
Yeah.
To make it sound louder and everything. You know, so it's like, it's played up a lot, but I think certain things about it are real, and certain things about it are acted out. So, it's hard to say. I would think that there's more reality when it comes to who's going to be champion, because those people there's a big difference in money they make and prestige. And then, you know, the champions have to set an example for youngsters. So, you know what I mean? It's it's really hard question to answer. I think in a lot of the preliminary stuff, I think a lot of it is arranged. But I would think that in the championship...
Like this, that big feud, in February 5th, the big match on NBC, the first wrestling event, Friday night main event.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, amazing that there were, two referees in there, and Dave Hepner, Hugh Hefner's something.
Mm-hmm.
He's related to him.
Mm-hmm.
His twin brother, Earl Hepner, was actually in the ring and paid off by the Million Dollar Man.
Oh, yeah. Now, you see... I think a lot of that is, you know the word showmanship, you understand that?
Yeah.
The concept of showmanship is that you blow up a thing, you know, and I think that's what a lot of it, the Million Dollar Man, I mean, and the feuds that go on and how people say they hate each other, I don't really think, with the exception of a few people, do you remember a couple of years ago, the Samoans hurt somebody?
Yeah.
I forget who it was, he was a real, real nice guy and all, I think that kind
Atlas?
Of, pardon me?
I think it was Tony Atlas.
It might have been. They hurt his knee. I forget who it was. He was kind of a younger fellow. But that kind of stuff, you know, I think that kind of stuff, when somebody's really actually hurt, yeah, I think some of that is real. But a lot of the, I would say a lot of the feuding stuff is just showmanship on the part of the wrestlers. You know, they want to make people have a good time, you know. You don't always have a good time just watching people wrestle, but the whole show is people coming on radio. It's, you know, you've got that Chinese guy that sticks his cane into the ring. You've got Mr. Wonderful and,
Mr. Fuji.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Fuji. You know, and then you've got Bobby the Brain. I mean, obviously the guy's not a brain, but, you know, I mean, they have all their characters. It's all characters. It's not as bad as women's wrestling. That's total joke.
I know, GLOW.
Yeah, that's bad news. That's just silly, but... But the men, you know, it's like, I think a lot of it is just showmanship and people giving you a good entertainment, you know? So, to answer the question, some of it, I guess, is kind of fake, and some of it, I think, is kind of serious.
Okay, and I have one more question.
Sure.
Why does he want to call that place, whatever it was?
Oh, in England?
Oh, wait a minute, I have a name.
But you have to
Not
explain
again,
it
please.
To him.
What's that?
Not again. Worse than your song.
What?
It's worth, don't tell me the name of the that...
No, you said, why does he want to do this? Yeah, you can refer to me by my name.
Eric.
You know, I'm not standing
Eric.
in some foreign country somewhere. I'm sitting right here in this room.
Okay.
Why do I want to find out the phone number? Well, I think it's important for us to know things. I believe information should be spread around freely.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that agency does?
Well, I've heard different things. I've heard they do good. I've heard they do bad. But for the most part, the People's Democratic Resistance Movement for the expulsion of defenestrating anti-apartheid attachés from Southeast Asia is a very moral group, I guess kind of a young group, which explains why they don't have listings yet in the phone books, because they just got their phones, I guess, installed recently. But I think, you know, you have to sort of gather behind something. If you're going to be a part of this life, you have to have faith in one particular organization or group.
Not necessarily.
I've picked this
faith
one.
In yourself is a lot more.
Well, yes, I have faith in myself too, but I'd like to have faith in these folks as well.
These folks, do you know what defenestrating means? Of course you do.
Well, it has to do with
throwing people out of windows.
Well,
Eric.
What's wrong with that? It's necessary sometimes.
It's never necessary.
You don't think anti-apartheid attachés should be defenestrated? I haven't defenestrated.
Anti-apartheid attachés.
Yeah, I think it would.
In other words, you're pro-apartheid.
No, I hate attachés.
Well, then use a badge.
It doesn't matter if they're anti-apartheid or anti-Castro or whatever they're anti. I don't like attachés. I just want to go on record as saying that.
Explain.
All attachés should be defenestrated.
Okay. You mean spies should be thrown out of windows?
I didn't say spies. I said attachés.
And what would you call an attaché then? Just some guy in a suit who's employed by a consulate?
Yeah, that would certainly...
All right, so Andrew, this organization sounds like a very violent thing.
No, it's not violent. They haven't done it to anyone yet.
People think organizations prefaced by People's Democratic, whatever,
they support,
are really to be regarded really suspiciously.
No, Giles. They support the defenestration of anti-apartheid attachés. Okay,
if you
doesn't mean they go around doing it.
If you
support it.
If you support vocally the throwing out of windows.
By the way,
of
Andrew's
people,
gone. He hung up at some point during that.
I can't blame him.
Continue with what you were saying, though.
All right, now, if you support something, then you share a small burden of the guilt.
I can share that small burden. It's
no
problem.
I mean, it's responsibility, taking responsibility for your actions. It's like, you know...
That's right. If anyone else has the number, though, for the PDRMEDAASA, please give us a call and tell us what the number is, because we do want to talk to them. We'd like to get somebody from that organization on the air tonight.
If you call them, you know how much...
What?
This is how it's going to go. You calling us... How dare you degrade us by putting us on your program? That's what it'd be like.
Now, you see, we're Irish again.
A serious organization like ours dedicated to throwing people out of windows. I really shouldn't rank on them, I suppose, because I'll find myself defenestrated.
A lot of serious people have been thrown out of windows.
Yeah, I know.
Including a couple from our record library, but that's something else.
That's just how they steal records.
2 minutes after 11 o'clock, you're tuned to WUSB in Stony Brook.
The most notable people who have been defenestrated have been defectors from the Soviet Union.
Well,
we find a lot of mysterious deaths. A long history of defecting.
Our phone number is 632-6901.
Wir sind Schaufensterpuppen.
Someone just got defenestrated over there.
Schaufensterpuppen.
Let's go to the telephones. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, I got the misfortune of living in Shirley.
Oh, dear.
And, wait a minute. Some of my family lives in Shirley.
I'm sorry, but what I meant to say is I come from the West Coast.
The West Coast of Shirley? I didn't know Shirley had a West Coast. But go ahead.
West Coast of the country, but...
Ah.
Where?
Los Angeles.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Wow. Did you like Los Angeles?
Yeah, I really did like it.
How's the stigma coming in now out there?
Where did you live? If I might ask.
I lived on PCH, Pacific Coast Highway.
Oh, wow.
You lived on a highway? Wait, how could you live on a highway?
One of the homeless.
Tons of places to live on the PCH.
You can live anywhere out there, man. Just pitch a tent. It's beautiful.
Now,
that's the most beautiful
scenery
is the Pacific Coast Highway, like around Santa Cruz, just south of San Francisco. You know, isn't that beautiful?
Way south of San Francisco, now, like 300 miles.
For the record.
Well, that's where you are. I mean, that's where Los Angeles is. But I know, I mean, like right up by San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, there. It's great.
That's great, man.
There's Malibu's up, you know, up north of LA also. And that's beautiful up there.
I have some friends in
the
Pasadena. It's not.
Pasadena, that's what the locals call it.
Really?
Well,
I like that.
There's a new music station there.
Oh, Sha-Sha, Pasadena.
For the record,
the train.
Pacific Coast Highway goes from Alaska to the tip of Chile. Is that correct?
No, that's the Pan American Highway.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's the Pacific Coast Highway? I don't know that.
The Pacific Coast Highway is a long, windy road. Oh, wait, why don't you tell us? You're the Californian.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I've never gone too far north of L.A., but I know it goes way down into...
It's beautiful. It's
from San Diego to San Francisco.
Oh, God, for a guy who likes to drive, you should rent a car in San Diego and drive up to Oregon. I mean, it's like...
Well, a fast street bike actually is better. That way you can get through the traffic.
Well, when I drove from L.A. to San Francisco and up, actually up to, I forget, someplace where there were all these goats, it was great. It's so beautiful. It's a little windy road, and every couple of years, parts of it wash out because of the mud sliding down from the mountain, so a lot of it is very brand new. Very brand new. Yeah, sure, superlatives. But, I mean, a lot of it is brand new. It's really nice. It's a great drive, and there are many points at which you can stop the car, get out, and look. It's,
oh, yeah, and they got hang gliders, you know?
Yeah, it's truly, I mean, it's like Purple Mountain's majesties. I mean, I see where the majesty comes in. I mean, there's no fruited plain right from, you know, because you're seizing the ocean.
Yeah, but I got a question.
Oh, sure.
Okay, I was riding the train the other day, and I understand that, you know, a lot of people on Long Island are not, like, too progressively minded, right?
Yeah. It's possible. I've heard the rumor.
Well, I'm special around here.
Uh-huh.
Hide in the woods, and when the people come out from the city in the summertime,
uh-huh,
they throw rocks and shit at their, and stuff at their car. And, like, smash people's cars up just because they're from the city.
Who does this?
Well, I don't know. These kids are... I guess I thought I was a local and stuff. They're telling me how they hide in the woods right off the road and they throw rocks at people, you know, like Mercedes and stuff like that. I wonder, you know, what prompts someone to, you know, destroy someone, just someone's property, just because they're not local. You know, I was wondering about this attitude.
Xenophobia?
Yeah, xenophobia.
Doesn't it happen everywhere? I mean, it really does.
You got... I mean, out here it seems pretty crazy. These metalheads... Oh, they're metalheads. Kind of like people. Not that I'm putting metal down, but I'm just wondering, you know. I don't know, I'm kind of worried for, you know, I'm kind of worried for my car, too, you know, because I don't drive a jacked up Malibu or whatever.
Or a dented Camaro?
Yeah, no bitchin' Camaros for me.
No bitchin' Camaros, huh? Well, does your car have California plates?
No, it's got Florida plates.
Whoa, oh, Florida. Were you living in Florida?
Yeah, 6 months before I came here.
No kidding. Where in Florida, might I ask?
Fort Pierce, Florida. 90 miles north of West Palm Beach.
Oh, okay, way down there. My family's in a little place called Zephyr Hills near Tampa.
Ah, I don't know where that is, to tell you the truth.
Oh, that's about 30 miles north of the frost line. So it's about.
Oh, that's northern Florida.
Yeah, it's what they call South Central. You know, they don't get snow, but they do get a little frost two weeks out of the year. That's the winter.
Yeah, I hear that they have like I heard that northern Florida has two seasons.
Yeah, it pretty much, it's like kind of like a quasi-season. They have alligators, but no crocodiles.
Yeah,
and they
I was petting a manatee down there. Down
really?
In Florida, yeah. I was feeding it lettuce and stuff. The things are huge.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right, they're famous down there. In fact, they're trying to save the manatee, actually.
Yeah, I was part, like, I'm in the Coast Guard, and we used to patrol, and, like, people would speed to the manatee zone, you give them $1,000 tickets first time.
Great.
Second time, like, $2,000, because they hit these manatees with boats.
Oh, shit.
And it's like, you know, fewer and fewer each year.
Man. Oh, man.
People with speedboats, they smack the manatees around, and they're really gentle, beautiful animals, you know.
Yeah, but people are pretty stupid, you know.
And
I mean,
drunk,
it's like,
yeah.
Hey, let's hit the big fat animal.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. I wonder about people sometimes. I wonder about humanity sometimes, you know. People are so cruel to things, like they don't understand. It's wild.
It's the, you know, there's no way to explain. I mean, there are ways to explain it, but it probably takes a lifetime of research. And then when you're done, you're probably so depressed because of the forecast, you kill yourself. So I wouldn't suggest. You know, it's just, it's kind of a depressing subject to talk about. It's, you know.
And these, like, on nights when I'm sitting here alone, I wonder at things like that, you know. But sometimes, most of the time in your life, though, you're so preoccupied with being a consumer that you don't really think about things, I guess.
Well, you know, some of us would argue that that's the purpose of making the society, or encouraging a consumerist society to take your mind off important issues, like what's going on in the government, or, you know, what are we really doing? Where are we going? You know, it gets you into a very kind of very relaxed groove where you just, you know, you just eat and excrete.
Listen to the pop music station,
mm-hmm,
the laser hits, and collect your paycheck. You know,
right? Eat and excrete and dance to the beat.
Yeah.
It's just that's just some people would say that, and doubtless that there are other people that really would hope for it. I mean, you get into a big subject. To wonder, like, there are obviously people that hope for an, you know, an end to, how can we say it? How can we capsulize it without getting into my typical soapbox?
Okay, distracting me.
There are certain people that would like to see everyone just get into a single consumer-minded groove where they forget about...
Like Brave New World.
Yeah, exactly, where you just get set to doing your thing, and you don't start worrying, you stop worrying about other people, you stop worrying about other, like, causes, you stop worrying about issues, you stop, really thinking deeply about things and just worry about the way things sound and the way things look. And, you know, it's kind of a, some people, other people would call it like kind of a French attitude. I don't know.
Monsieur,
it looks beautiful. It doesn't matter what is inside, you know, and stuff like that. It's a weird subject. And then you get into these same people that hope to chain humanity in that direction. Also, my hope for a single world government in the future.
You don't see that in the future?
One government and no God.
You don't see a one world government in the future?
The only hope. See, it's kind of hard. A united Earth, maybe, but one world government, or a world united under world socialism, is more of what people are talking about. You know, some people accused David Rockefeller and a whole group of
trilateralists. Trilateralists.
Not so much trilateralists as what they call the Skull and Bones Society. It's another one of those supposedly secret organizations. The aim of which is world socialism, domination of the people, where you have a small oligarchy based on economic and based on legal means enforced by economic power. It's a really weird thing, man. There's a guy that writes a lot about this. His name's Anthony Sutton. And it's pretty weird. It's a pretty weird...
I like those futuristic fiction or anything futuristic I kind of get into, because it's... I don't know. I don't see how our system could work for the same people in India, the starving millions in India, you know?
I mean, there's
got to be some middle ground. I think there should be something done about it. All that, you
mm-hmm.
know? That's not right. People should have to starve and stuff, you know?
Well...
You know, if they're going to live in a desert, you know, they should... do something with the desert, you know what I mean?
Well, people have done things with the desert. I mean, I think if you leave people alone, people find a way to get along. I mean, that's the way it's always been.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you start interfering. People really weren't, there really weren't bad famines in Africa until a lot of those countries went communist, for example. Then you have the government enforcing its opinion on the people with through economic and food-related means.
Yeah, and the specialization towards the... I don't know, environment, it breaks down when you impose upon them some other kind of
mm-hmm.
thing. And that's strange that you should mention that, because I was watching a show on a public station about Aborigines and how, like, they've gone so many millions of years, if, you know, there are millions of years, without screwing up their, you know, without depleting anyone's species
mm-hmm.
or anything, living in perfect harmony with their environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, you know, that's progress in comparison to these technological advances, you know, going to the moon and stuff. Well, it's just like we're like a trashy race, just deteriorating whatever we touch. You know, we got to make trash.
Well, the way I figure it is, you know, the human race is growing like an individual grows, right? You know, the human race is growing. I mean, first you get really smart, and then you get really spiritual. You know, first your brain develops before your heart.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows what... I mean, if we don't kill each other off, maybe in a couple of dozen generations we'll end up as worthwhile things.
I see.
You know, but right now, yeah, it's a big mess, so we've just got to do what we can.
You should, I don't think it was right of you to disillusion that poor young man about wrestling.
Well, I tried not to.
Choreography, I mean, I think it's pretty much choreographed.
You know, like I said, I tried to say, I think the championship stuff is taken really seriously by those people. But, you know, I think the lower level stuff, it's a big show. I mean, it has to be. That's, you know, right? So I just tried to be fair about it. I hope I didn't disillusion him. But you need a certain amount of...
Yeah,
you know, you can't go believing like these people hate each other, and then a couple of weeks later they're not like you have wrestlers start out as bad guys, right? And then later on they're good guys. That kind of screws up. If you believe that, right, that will, and you're a thinking person, that will serve to screw up your view of good and evil. Because you won't understand consistency. You know, it has to do with consistency of human thought. It's like, yeah, you can change your mind, but you can't go from hating someone and saying you're going to kill his mother and rip her head off and shove it down his throat to saying, I'm on this guy's side and I love him and he's my pal.
Yeah, it's a little reconciliation when you had a complete opposed view, you know?
Right, it's like...
You have to really change.
And these things have a subtle yet important effect. So, you know, you have to... I don't know, I just, you know, I was just trying to give my opinion about it. I think that's you know, it's a certain amount of that... disillusioning, I think, is kind of necessary. You have to just look at it, try to be a little realistic, because
yeah, that's true about how you were saying about how, like, you were saying how people change, kind of like an evolutionary thing. Because when I was in Los Angeles, I'm Hispanic, right, and I have 11 brothers and sisters, and my father disabled because his neck broke on a job, construction job, and so I kind of grew up in a bad element, you know, gangs and stuff. I used to have this roommate, and he was a vice president of SHS, which is Signal Hill Stoners. It's a white gang that believes in doing drugs. They have their girlfriends on leashes and stuff.
No kidding.
Inner city stuff, and, you know, pretty wild. But he really believed in it. You know, that wrestling had come on, and he was really, he didn't have much of an IQ. I think he kind of fried it out, but yeah, he really took it serious, and this is a young man of 17 years old, you know, and he really took it serious, all this WrestleMania. This was before it became big, you know, this was still, Andre the Giant was still, you know, like the biggest sensation that they had, but now they've got, you know, Hulkamania, I guess he, and Cyndi Lauper, they kind of really brought it, you know, into a, I don't know, a bigger audience, I guess.
Yeah, they've done, it's
there's
very strange the way that all worked out. It is a very strange thing the way it worked out. But they're all show people. I mean, Hulk Hogan was a musician in a band.
Oh yeah.
Before he was a guitar player. I mean, he was always a showman. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that it has to be recognized.
Yeah, and you know, one wrestler, Sergeant Slaughter. Have you ever seen him?
Yeah, I've seen him.
He's a pretty unique character. I mean,
he's a guy. Didn't he start out as a bad guy and then ended up as?
I remember he was a negative. He was negative because people didn't cheer him on.
Right.
And kind of booed him.
He was a bad guy, and then he started waving the American flag and denouncing Iran and stuff.
And he became very popular all of a sudden.
It's that kind of thing. While on one hand you don't want to disillusion a kid, you just, you know, if he asks you a question, you're gonna say, hey, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to lie to them, but you don't want to, you know.
Don't go taking this as gospel. Remember, these people are showmen. It's showmanship. And
audience at those wrestling matches, have you ever, like, looked at the audience?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to interpret the audience.
You hold these things in Kansas or someplace, you know. That's a really cold-blooded thing to say, I know, but I don't know. They just don't look like they really are into any of the classics, yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's like, I mean, there are places in this country where they still have cockfights and dogfights.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's a lot more bloodthirsty. I think wrestling is popular because I think the general perception is that it's fixed and that no one's really getting hurt. I mean, maybe that's subtle. Maybe that's a subtle thing that, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just not said.
People battle it out and evil win. People, like, have this need, even though it's, in reality, I don't really think that the good is, you know, always on top.
Oh no, good only wins when it's really, really
graphic. You know, like World War II, that was a graphic war, but Vietnam, it was more of an obscure thing.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
With Nazism, I mean, they were so obviously bad that everyone wanted to fight them. But in Vietnam, you know, you kind of like feel for the northern Vietnamese, and you feel for the southern.
Well, I have to tell you, everybody didn't want to fight them until it was a little late in the game. You know. I mean, everybody was willing to make peace with them for a while. Oh, you know, that was kind of a good example of kind of screwed up perceptions.
Yeah, the French were over there in the beginning, I understand, right?
Well, the French, I mean, the English, look, you know, everybody, look how they sold out part of Czechoslovakia.
Oh, that was a shame.
They sold out a lot of people, and then they realized they weren't going to satisfy the guy. I mean, but that's a whole messed up thing. Oh, let me just say the number here is 632-691. Do we have to go to the next call, Eric? All right. Look, it's been good talking to you.
Right, nice talking to you.
All right, have a good night.
By the way.
Yeah?
Are you guys going to play new music later on in the evening?
Well, no, this show is pretty much talk, but there is a music guy coming on. He's coming on at, what, 12, Eric? Capozzi, Nick, Bill, what's his name?
The Capozzi brothers, actually.
Oh, the pair of them?
Yes, I've seen Bill floating around, and
he can float?
Well, they can do amazing things, and they go from 12 o'clock until 2:30, I believe. But the thing is, since daylight savings time is being put into effect, no, they have one less hour.
Oh.
Because it springs ahead, so
no.
Yeah, that's how
no, at 2 o'clock.
At 2 o'clock, it becomes 3 o'clock.
Right, so they have a half hour left.
So they'll be off the air for half an hour in the middle of their show.
Not exactly.
Well, to be compensated for that, don't you think?
Yeah.
They should be.
Say, yeah, you know, we ripped you off for a half hour, we can give you another half hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they'll just get the half their hourly wage, which is nothing anyway.
No, I'm feeling ripped off because I'm the listener. I mean, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say.
Well,
don't
worry about it, because the guy that comes on at 2:30 is going to play the, you know, music too.
We do send the listeners checks for something like that. You see, your phone number is recorded on our new modern phone here, and what we do is we run a cross check on you, get your address, send you out a little stipend for the time that you spend talking to us.
It's the Glasnost telephone. It immediately records the number, and then you decide to do what you're going to do with the caller.
You guys will have, like, all my bank records and everything?
We've got them already. Let's see. Oh,
they're
you're
looking
behind
at that inside.
On your loan
We've
payment.
Got the bookkeeping department in
uh-huh.
there.
All the prostitutes that I've seen.
You can afford...
And their names and addresses right here.
You
right
can
here.
Afford to send us money and food and stuff like that, so...
Oh, yeah, look, he did...
It's just a friendly reminder.
What?
This is just a friendly reminder. We don't get so friendly later.
Get in, but getting out.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Well, look, say hi to everybody out in Shirley there.
I don't really associate too much. All my friends are in Hampton Bays.
Well,
I guess you can kind of see why.
My friend is in Spionk. In fact, I'll be going back there tonight.
Back to Spionk?
Yeah, in Spionk.
Yeah, well, I'll say hi to some Guidos for you guys, and I'll tell them to try to, like...
Guidos? Oh, you mean you can say buongiorno. Buongiorno, Guido.
Let me ask you a question. Does Shirley have a train station?
Yeah, it does.
It does. How often does a train come barreling through there?
I have a schedule. Would you like me to get it out?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, you don't have to... I mean,
well,
I have a train schedule for
We
sure.
were talking about trains this time last week, and it's kind of... A lot of people are very interested in trains. I don't know why. I had Jim Weiner up here last week, and we just started talking about the circus.
I have this great book. It's Trains of the German Democratic Republic.
What is it with you and the German Democratic Republic?
When I was there, I picked him up.
He wants a defect.
Wow. Well, the thing is, I'd like to see that, but there's so little known about the Long Island train system. I mean, there are all kinds of hidden things.
About the old stations on the side of the road and stuff like that.
Yeah, things like that. There used to be a train station in Rocky Point. Not very many people know that. 2 weeks from tonight...
As I recall, in Rocky Point, Nikola Tesla built a... Tesla. He built,
Benjamin Franklin was our technological leader, but, you know, Tesla, he was... AC, I mean...
Well, he was great. He built, like, a large generator. I think he built an experimental generator out in Rocky Point. It never went on, but when he was employed by Westinghouse, I think.
Westinghouse, yeah.
He was
air brakes for trains.
Yeah, that's right. And developing the AC generator and making it a power source. They did something. He did something at Rocky Point. It was a wooden-based generator.
Let me just go on to say that 2 weeks from tonight we will be talking exclusively about trains. We're going to have a couple of train nuts up here.
2 weeks from tonight?
Actually, three. Yeah, on brain damage. Yeah. 2 weeks. It'll be the 16th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking with me, of course, Eric Corley, Jim Weiner, who does the classical program that night, and Mike Uhas will be coming all the way up from Philadelphia, and we'll just be talking about trains all night long. It'll be incredible. So,
you really want to go on a nice train ride. Down in Los Angeles, you can take a train ride all the way down to South America, and they're the old 40s trains that we had, right? They're all still very great condition, and you pay, like, I don't know, $100, and it's a three-day thing, you know?
Into South America or into Central America?
South America.
You're telling me from California you can take a train ride to South America and back for $100?
About $100 American money. You get an exchange. Cause me and my father did it. My father's like a missionary and stuff. And we go down to visit my relatives in Mazatlan. Ever heard of it?
No, what's that?
It's like your Acapulco, but it's on the west coast. It's called Mazatlan. It's very famous.
In Mexico?
Yeah, in Mexico.
Oh.
Well, how far down did you go?
Shoot. Way up. Let me try to think. About 1,000.
What country did you end up in?
Mexico,
That's Central America. South America is Colombia.
Okay. I'm sorry.
All right, because that didn't seem to make sense. You would have had to go through all kinds of countries, Costa Rica,
right.
And El Salvador, and Nicaragua, and all that stuff.
Can you imagine a train going through those countries?
It would have been, interesting.
It would be bullet ridden.
Get on a train, and you can buy all this food, it's so cheap, and then... You know, you drink a soda, and it's a deposit bottle, and these little kids at every train stop,
uh-huh.
You give them that bottle, and it's 5 cents, and they're ecstatic, you know. They're like a god giving out life, you know.
Wow.
A lot of fun. It's really good to help poor people. That's kind of what I'm in.
Yeah.
Mm.
Lots of good thing to be in.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, someone's got to do it, right? I mean, I get a blessing out of it anyway. All right, well, I'll let you guys go.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Happy Easter.
And happy Passover, and happy April Fool's Day, and whatever applies to you, we want to wish you the happiest of them.
Mm-hmm.
23 minutes after 11 o'clock, this is Brain Damage. Eric Corley here, Joe Evangelista
here.
Here for you, of course.
Here for me.
Our phone number is 632-6901, area code 516, country code 1.
Mm-hmm.
And give us a call, we'll talk about...
Country code for the Netherlands?
It's 40-something, I think it's 41, yeah.
41.
How did I know that?
Country code for Italy?
39.
Country code for England?
44. I'm pretty scary, isn't it?
Belgium.
Belgium. Why'd you say
three,
that?
3-3.
That's a horrible word.
3-3.
That's like the worst word in the universe. Belgium. Oh.
How about the country code for the Soviet Union?
7.
Very good, Eric.
Scared you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well,
Comrade.
Yes, yeah, so we'll talk more about that on our high-tech program when we have a high-tech edition of the show.
We should have an Evil Empire edition.
We could do that.
How about a month from now?
That's pretty evil right now. 632-6901, good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Good evening, what's the country code for Iran?
Oh, Iran,
Come on, Eric.
Give me a hint. Does it begin with a 7?
To tell you the truth, I have no idea. I thought it was 11, but I guess not.
Well, it couldn't be 11 because, no, it couldn't be.
It could.
But no,
Japan is a low number. No, Japan is 8-1, sorry.
I thought you knew everything.
Well, I don't know offhand. I it might begin with a 6, actually.
Why?
I don't know.
Just a hint.
Okay, well, I must call up the information operator, Eric. That's who tells you.
You have a lousy connection here. You must be calling from on campus.
I'm calling from on campus, but that's not why it's lousy. It's one of those, what's it called? Cordless phones.
Oh, it's a cordless phone. That means your conversation is being broadcast all over the place.
And in fact, the CIA and the KGB are tuning in on it.
Why would the CIA want to listen to me?
Because we're fascinating people.
Yes.
I have to tell you what I found out this weekend that really blew my mind. I can't understand it. I found out that the Last Supper, Jesus' Last Supper,
mm-hmm.
was a Passover dinner. Does that make sense?
It means that we're all God's children or something like that.
How did you find that out?
That really blows the concept of Christianity and Judaism and...
Well, it doesn't blow anything, but we only have 35 minutes.
So,
I mean, but it doesn't blow anything. I think a reexamination of... First, what was the source for this?
Everyone.
Everyone?
Everyone knew except me.
Wait a second, tell me, who told you this? I mean, what source? I mean, just people? You're going to believe just people about such an important thing? You should look it up.
Where am I going to look it up?
Well, first read the nature of it as it's written. Okay, first read about that. Then you can read, I mean, there are a number of annotated Bibles written by Bible scholars.
Okay.
And,
but, I mean, these are people who knew.
How do they know? What gives them?
They're religious, because they've read it. Read it for me.
I wouldn't go believing them.
I don't know. I'd
believe an objective scholar, perhaps.
Because Jesus was Jewish.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The reason that the two holidays coincide usually is because that was Passover, or the Last Supper was Passover. Does that make sense?
I couldn't say. All I can say is it's news to me.
No one would know, and everyone seemed to know, and it was.
I think it's one.
I thought it'd be interesting.
Here's one of the things. Now that you've said it to me, it sounds like the kind of thing that. Well, it's the kind of thing that I doubt, and it also sounds like the kind of thing that other people don't know. It's news to them, but they don't want to say it. Okay.
No, but the whole thing is everyone told me about this at once.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it happened. It happened at work.
Uh huh.
Everyone just. Put the information together for me,
It's
a big deal. It was just interesting to me.
Now that you've mentioned it and it's in your mind, and it's causing you these interesting conclusions about blowing certain religious beliefs out of the water, I really think it behooves you to look into it by some really real sources, not just people, because people spread misinformation because it sounds good, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly sounds good. So you should really investigate. I mean, this is where responsibility begins. Responsibility to yourself in this case. You owe it to yourself to get the whole story and from a variety of sources that you can sit and think about, not just people who wanna maybe help you out. Maybe it's the best intentions, but it's an important thing. I mean, the whole religion concept and the relation of the religions. It's a real wild story, and like I said, we've only got a few. We have less than a fraction of the time to. Talk about it, but start looking it up.
That's true.
Important thing to look up, especially now. Now's a good time for now's a time when a lot of thoughts turn to religion.
True. Actually, I think this time is better than the December holidays. I think the December holidays are so.
I like the way you put that. Why do you say the December holidays rather than Christmas or Hanukkah?
Because it's the same just situation. You have Hanukkah and you have Christmas, but they're so commercial now.
Well,
I, you know what?
Disregard
I think
the commercial.
Something like this around Christmas, and Eric stopped me.
What's
I
that?
Can get into it, but
well,
this feels more family and religion oriented.
Well, you got to remember though, the early Christians one of the things the Romans used to do to the early Christians was they would take a burning dagger and cut their eyes out, and then they would let them live, okay? I mean, so now, it's like they had to... Now, wait a second.
Do we have to go into those kind of graphic details?
Well, that's not even the worst of it. Anyway...
Why?
Tell me what you can you explain? I mean, there were.
I guess it was fun at the time. And
there were
a
number of persecutions.
It,
there were a number of persecutions. You know, the persecutions of the early Christians. I mean, it's like the It's a very weird thing, and you know, it's now that we've only got a half hour left. This would have been a good topic to talk about. I'm not. Unfortunately, I'm not well armed. But that's. Sorry to be stuttering so much. There's so many different directions to go with this.
People always stutter when they talk about religion. I've noticed that.
Well, you don't. There are certain things you don't want to say unless you have enough time to explain them, because certain people take offense to certain things.
Well, all religion
stinks. Jump off
stinks.
A handle and then end up cutting your head out.
All religion stinks. I'll go on record as saying that.
Religion can be a beautiful thing.
It can be. Unfortunately, when it falls in the hands of human beings, doesn't seem to.
Not quite, Erica. Religion is a personal thing, especially belief in God. I mean, it's a very personal thing, and I mean,
it's
if you're
a personal thing.
Organized religion stinks.
Right, that's what I meant.
Organized
religion.
Religion
with an individual and his or her maker.
But
that's the way it should stop, I think.
Well, no, I mean, look at
start and stop.
As Jesus said, where there is a, I can't quote him exactly, but as where there is a gathering of believers. I mean, the basic idea is where there is a gathering of believers, there is his church. I mean, and that's essentially a point to keep in mind. You don't, you know, and that's the kind of thing that's got out of hand. I mean. Anyway, but the reason I think that Christmas is located when it is because it falls during an old pagan holiday, and then therefore the ancient Christians could practice their worship for not fear of being rounded up and having their eyes cut out. I mean, the ancient popes, you know, the first popes, those guys, I mean, it really meant something. I mean, it was really life-threatening to be Christian back then. You know, you'd be round. I mean, they had popes whose reigns lasted like 3 weeks.
Well,
I mean, yeah.
We had one of those not too long ago.
Yeah, but it wasn't the same thing. When you have a pope, one day that the Roman secret police had come around, pick him up and take him away. And yes, the Romans had secret police.
Everyone's had secret police at one point or another. Well, we haven't been around long enough to really have secret police, but I'm sure we'll
we'll ever have secret police. Are you kidding? The CIA, like I said, the CIA's activities are splashed across the newspaper.
As well they should be.
They should not be.
Why not? They're up to all kinds of horrible things.
Not always.
Their function is to protect and serve. I mean, yeah, when they, I'm getting tangled up. Right now, we're talking about religion.
I think it's probably easier to talk about religion than talk about CIA.
Well, when you start talking about both of them at the same time, you end up all twisted up, and your head's like spaghetti.
Religion and the CIA. How does it affect you?
Religion and politics. Two of the hardest things to talk about in a half hour.
That's true.
You should have called up earlier, but it's a good phone call. Anyway.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Let's talk about something completely different.
Okay. Oh, well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Our number is 632-6901, in case you want to talk about something. I'd like to... I'd certainly like to hear people's opinions on it, because it's something that I find fascinating. Self-destructing checks. Have you ever heard of that, Joe?
I know. What happens is when people try to defect from Czechoslovakia, mysteriously they end up with bullet holes in their bodies the size of basketballs.
Everything I say ends up having something to do with East Europe. East Germany, Czechoslovakia, Albania. Well, we haven't talked about them yet.
Those poor people, they're so oppressed. I mean, we tend to ignore those people because they're in a white... so-called middle-class country. It's so much easier to turn to a place where there's obvious starvation than to look to Hungary and Czechoslovakia. Just keep those people in mind. They're suffering and dying and living in tenements with bugs falling on their faces in the middle of the night, where doctors and lawyers make equivalent of $300 a month. Anyway, sorry.
Okay. So. You've gotten it all out of your system.
No, it's never out of my system, Eric. That's kind of a joke, isn't it?
What?
Out of my system. I'm just apologizing for interrupting your self-destructing checks.
I'm talking about checks, as in the checks you write.
Oh! I thought you were talking about Glasnost, comrade.
I thought so. Okay, checks treated with a chemical that causes them to disintegrate into confetti shortly after being deposited have shown up in at least two states, costing banks nearly $70,000 since the beginning of the year, police have said. A check clearinghouse said it has warned 142 banks to be on the lookout for the dissolving checks, which may have an unusual odor and feel oily. The checks have turned up at five or six banks in the Chicago area and at one in Tennessee. That's according to Captain James Zaruski of the Chicago Police Department's Financial Crimes Division. Authorities also are checking a report of a possible dissolving check in Indiana. Now, the checks supposedly drawn on personal accounts at banks in California and Tennessee have been reported in about 12 incidents in recent weeks, costing banks about $70,000. In most of the cases, and this is what I'd like to focus on, someone would open an account with a small amount of money and later make a larger deposit with a dissolving check. Later, the money would be withdrawn from the account before the bank could learn that the second check was bogus. The check's decomposition would leave little for evidence. Now, what I don't understand is when you deposit a check into an account...
Mm-hmm. It takes a certain amount of time to clear.
They don't clear the check until it's been cleared. So how do these people do this? How can they take the money out before the check is cleared?
Well, it's entirely possible that, let's say you have a real bank account somewhere under a fictitious name, of course,
mm-hmm.
of $50,000. You deposit a bogus check. The bank checks the bank does whatever preliminary check, and they say, okay, we can register this man's account. They do it. Before they actually get the money, they have to send the check to the other bank, I think. Don't they? Don't they send the original of the check?
All I know is it takes me a good 4 to 6 days to get the money in my account when I deposit a check, and I assume that they've gotten the money, and that's what I'm waiting for. I mean, if they're just getting an okay on the phone or something, then that's something different.
We should call up someone who really knows about these matters.
Well, I'm hoping someone who really knows about those matters will call us and explain it to us so that we know just
how
we can go about doing it.
Well, I hear the phone ringing. Why don't you pick it up?
Well, I just want to finish the article, and then
we should have a phone answering person. Anyone out there would like a job? I mean, it doesn't pay anything.
No, we don't want a phone answering person because then the people will be on hold. They'd have to pay to be on hold.
Oh, this way they're not paying.
This way they're not paying a thing. The phone just keeps ringing.
Good.
Yes, we like to save our
listeners'
money.
I withdraw that job offer.
Okay. Police believe more than one person is involved in the scam, but have no suspects because of the dissolving evidence. A few days ago, this policeman's office received copies of 5 checks for a total of $20,000 drawn on a Chicago bank and deposited at a Memphis, Tennessee bank. They're in bits and pieces, they said. The association learned of the checks from Northern Trust Bank, which has been hit by at least 3 of them. A Northern customer deposited $4,000 by check in a savings account on February 16th, then withdrew the same amount a week later from one of the bank's branch offices. The $4,000 check that was deposited was returned March 2nd to Northern from a California bank that said the check had an invalid account number. But by then, the check had been reduced to mere confetti.
The question here is, are these banks conspiring to steal money from the FDIC? By faking this whole thing,
there's something wrong here because that's not the way it works. You don't deposit a check and then get the money before the check is cleared.
Unfortunately, now we're operating from a position of ignorance. So we're asking for help.
Well, I'm basing this on what's happened to me. People at the bank have said you have to wait until the check clears. It's going to take this amount of time. And I mean, what am I waiting for?
We are in New York, and maybe you deposit a thing in Illinois, and they say, "Well, okay." Yeah, that's our policy. We wait a couple of days.
That's true.
You can take it out because maybe they trust people a little more.
Well, it could be that New York policy is different. I hadn't thought of that. But I just assumed, the FDIC and all that, it was the same policy all throughout the country.
No, FDIC is only insurance. It's not a law thing. It's not a law enforcement agency.
Uh-huh. Well, they say the perpetrator is using some kind of chemical that makes the checks disintegrate about 3 to 4 hours after they're deposited. Now, 3 to 4 hours, how can they possibly credit someone within 3 to 4 hours? That never happens, You never get credit for even cash. It takes my bank 2 days to process cash.
Eric, I can't say a word.
I mean, depositing disintegrating cash, now that might be something. Disintegrating counterfeit money.
Disintegrates
before they have the chance to realize it's counterfeit.
Disintegrating cash.
Think about that.
That's kind of like the devaluing of the dollar by running the printing press.
Well, if you have comments on this, 632-6901.
And if you don't have comments on it,
632-6901. Right, area code 516. Good evening.
Country
you're
01.
On Brain Damage.
Brain Damage.
Get my radio.
What about it?
No, he's going to turn it down. We cut off the first part of what he was saying.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I would think that it would be common knowledge by now that the main purpose of the CIA is to penetrate and to manipulate foreign affairs in favor of the U.S. I mean, there's enough information and books and people willing to testify on their own from the CIA to make that pretty much common knowledge.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to sort of make that comment about that. Also, about the comment made about Eastern Europe and religion, there have been religious problems in Eastern Europe for ages, hundreds of years. And I think it's really unfortunate that whenever there's a problem in Eastern Europe, that we automatically, either directly or indirectly, link it to the situation with the different states there, the fact that they're socialist.
The different states? You mean? Oh, you mean the one state?
No,
yes, the extended borders of the Soviet Union, yeah.
I mean the different states.
There are no different states.
Okay, because they do have autonomy, and that's just another myth.
They have no autonomy, and everything. They dance on Moscow orders.
Economic autonomy.
Ha! You think that Honecker can make his own decisions?
Excuse me, just as much as the countries of Latin America have with us.
Oh, boy, this is rich. This is rich. Again, this is common knowledge, too. Yes, this is... The difference being that the countries of the East Bloc have to answer to a variety of offensive weaponry located in their country or at their borders.
Sounds
and
a little like Nicaragua to me.
Yeah, that's right. It is just like Nicaragua. They have Soviet tanks enforcing what the Sandinistas
have
to say.
And we have thousands of troops on this Nicaraguan border just the other day.
That's right. They're trying to liberate.
No,
and give the people
to
a voice.
Is to keep in power a system politically and economically that maintains that same type of situation. So I don't see any difference there. That's why
there's
I think
a great
it's
difference
wrong for us to automatically link problems.
No way. The problems of the people in Eastern Europe. Well, all of their problems, of course, we don't know. But the political problems are caused by the enforced communism. Though you think those people?
No.
You
no.
bet,
Many
pal.
Many of the problems that exist in Eastern Europe, especially the ones that revolve around culture
uh-huh.
and religion,
uh-huh.
have been there for generations.
Like what? You mean like the attempted abolishment of the church? The abolishment of the church in the Ukraine?
Oh,
those things have been there for... Are you kidding?
Talking about the Soviet Union...
Yes, and the Soviet Union is directly
Poland
responsible for what happened.
Countries, they have not tried to abolish religion. What they have done is to make a literal separation of church and state. That is what they have done.
And by doing... You mean by closing
so
churches and making them into
the
museums?
Soviet Union, any Sunday you want to. No one will arrest you. No one will harass you. The only difference is the state will not say, God bless our policy, God is on our side, God this, God that. If the Soviet Union wants to do something, God has nothing to do with it. That is what they're saying.
That is not what they're saying. What they're saying is that they arrest and harass people.
No,
yeah, they
no.
realize they cannot. They
but
realize
they're
the thing is the Russian Orthodox Church is a fabulously powerful force and becoming more powerful in the people as they lose hope in a worldly system, which is what they're doing. You'll notice the church is becoming more and more populated by younger and younger people.
It's happening here too. What do you call fundamentalism in this country?
It's interesting, the Catholic Church here in this country seems to be very into helping refugees from countries like El Salvador. They're also,
mm-hmm.
in many cases, in support of the government in Nicaragua.
Yeah, sure, the Catholic
from
Church
here.
In this country.
Now, why is that?
I don't know. I also can't tell you why the Catholic Church has had its boot heel on the neck of the Mexican people ever since they were installed by the Spanish. I mean, I can't tell you that. The Catholic Church seems to be a fabulously oppressive force in some places, and a force which should not be meddling in politics.
Well, how about in Poland?
It's a spiritual force that should be divided from.
How about in Poland then? Are they meddling in politics in Poland because that's what the government seems to think? And it sounds like you're agreeing with what the government says.
And it may very well be. In fact, in the Soviet Union, people may be turning to the church for hope. Apparently, the reason that they haven't been able to totally abolish religion is it's a basic faith.
But
and it's
they
a
have
basic
never
revolutionary
tried
force.
To abolish
yes,
religion.
Yes, they have. They've tried to quash it, and they couldn't do it.
What they have tried to do is make separation between church
by
and state.
By dissolving the church.
They have not tried
it's
to abolish religion
basic...
in the Soviet Union. That is
well,
a complete falsehood.
It is not a complete
well,
falsehood.
Now, I don't think they would be successful if they tried, because...
It would be silly to think it's possible. What they are saying is that they feel, because of certain ideological ideas that they carry, that religion has a certain connection with politics and society. Okay? That is what they said. Due to that fact, that they have that understanding mm-hmm. or have that belief, they feel that politics and religion should be separate, completely separate from one another. They have never said, neither Marx, Lenin, Gorbachev, any of them, none of them have ever said that religion should be crushed completely with physical or military or whatever.
Yes, they do, and they believe it because in communism, man is the god.
In
man's word is the word of God.
Man.
The existence.
Man
no, man is
potential.
In communism,
don't put
man
words
is God.
Into their mouth. That's what I'm. That's what I'm saying. If you want to look at the problems of Eastern Europe, let's look at the problems of Eastern Europe.
And the problems
let's
of Eastern Europe are caused in Moscow.
Take the problems and tack them onto the system.
It's the system that's causing
them.
Why do you think there are so many defectors?
It's
why do you think people leave?
It's not true and it's not
it's
fair.
It's absolutely true and an absolutely valid
in,
criticism.
In Eastern Europe have been there for generations
like,
before any sort of
like
communist government came to power.
Like what? Like what? Yeah.
Religion, social problems, ethnic disputes, they've been there for centuries.
Yes, but we're not talking about disputes between peoples. We're not just talking about differences of opinion. We're talking about organized repression. We're talking about the same thing that the Nazis
what
did, for Christ's sake.
Oh, come on. Come on.
What do you mean, come on? Go ahead. I mean, what...
Wait, you're saying that what's happening in the Soviet Union today is...
He's saying they're a bunch of good guys who just want to make everybody know
but,
that they don't believe that God has a place in society. God has a place in government. That much is true, but what they believe is that God doesn't have a place anywhere because it gives people strength.
Have never said
it gives
that.
People hope. It gives people a realization there's something to care about. You have to kill people's
spirit.
Can you
give me some quotes of Soviet officials saying something like that?
If you could, that would make it very easy
give
to attack
me the
them.
Quotes.
Well, no.
They will not ever say anything absolutely
no,
like that.
No, they wouldn't
that.
Say it because they've never said that.
Oh, come on.
What they have said is that separation of church and state is essential to any socialist democracy. That is what they have said. Whether you want to construe that as repression or
but
Nazism
they,
or anything is up to you.
It's what they're doing. It's what
that
they're doing
what they
to the people.
Said.
It's what they're doing to the people. For a long time, if you wanted to worship in a church or a synagogue, you had to be a member of the... you had to have an identification card saying that you were a member of if I can remember the word, it's equivalent to... not lunatic fringe. It's equivalent to... I can't think of the word. Arcane. It's like equivalent to arcane... arcane beliefs or something. You had to be a member. You're regarded as a member of a crazy group.
And you know as well as I do that anti-Semitism has been part of Russian society for centuries.
That much, yes.
It's been
but,
part of world society.
But it's been
for
part
centuries.
Of it's part of world society just as much as the just as much as the ancient Jews persecuted the first Christians. I mean,
it's inaccurate to tack anti-Semitism onto Soviet communism.
I'm not doing that.
Anti-Semitism has been part of Russian society for centuries.
Part of everybody's society.
It wasn't brought in by the Bolsheviks.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. The Bolsheviks hate everybody. So, I mean...
Bolsheviks don't hate everybody.
Bolsheviks hate everybody.
No. You sound like you hate everybody.
When they rose to power, this is what they did, okay? In the revolution, you recall what happened to the Russian Navy when they realized that they might be on the wrong side. Well, a lot of their boats were sank and many of their people were killed. This happened in the North Sea. The North Sea revolution of the Russian Navy was the cornerstone of the revolution of the Russian Revolution. And when those people realized what was happening, when the revolutionaries started taking the same power, not distributing it, but turning it around, when they realized it and tried to take a step backwards, tried to make a stand against them, they were massacred. They were massacred by the forces they helped install.
Can you name one new state that hasn't conducted massacres?
One new state that hasn't conducted massacres.
I mean, these things, and unfortunately...
Well, I can name one. I don't think Nicaragua has.
Unfortunately,
it's not documented
we've gotten
yet.
To the point in this society that any problem that any communist country has is automatically due to their system. And that's wrong if we're trying to take a clear and balanced view of life in a part of the world that is going to be here for a very long time. I mean, you can curse it.
Actually, it's not.
Try to wish it away, but they're not going to go away. So what we have to do is try to more clearly understand them. When we take every problem that exists mm-hmm. in a communist country and say, oh, it's automatically because they're communist,
mm-hmm.
that's silly. Ignorant.
Every problem, yes. To take every problem and say it's due to communism, yes. There are certain problems, sure, that have existed.
The problems of religion and anti-Semitism have been part of Russian society long before the Bolshevik Revolution.
Absolutely. But remember, that although there was anti-Semitism, okay, and I mean that was a personal feeling, even an organized feeling to a certain extent. The Jews were allowed to exist. They were allowed to leave.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
It's
you
true.
You know doggone well there were ghettos all over Russia before the Bolsheviks.
Yes, that's Russian, right. There
so
were ghettos. But the people were allowed to leave. The people were allowed to
not
leave.
Not allowed to leave. You were economically and politically bound to the ghetto.
You could get on your
you
ox cart and go. You could leave. There's a difference. You were allowed to own things. You were allowed to leave. You were allowed to believe. You were allowed to believe. Yeah, I mean, maybe due to prejudice, you were made to suffer for it. That's what religion is. That's part of what religion is about.
Telling
is suffering
me,
for your
so you're
faith.
Telling me that the only problem before the Bolshevik Revolution, as far as anti-Semitism was concerned, was a problem of personal prejudice between Jews and non-Jews. Come on. How can you make that kind of a comment?
Whoa! No! I'm not making that comment at all. Don't misinterpret this. I'm saying yes, there are certain problems that existed. Yes, but now those problems are organized and enforced on a state level, completely across the board.
Okay.
There is no religion. Religion is practically banned.
I would be more willing to believe you if you were going to break this down into certain realistic pictures of unattached to necessarily the political status, but
you can't.
Seem completely intent on saying that every problem in the Soviet Union that regards religion or anti-Semitism in any of the Eastern Bloc countries is automatically tied to the fact that they're communists.
Yes, destruction of religion is necessary
for
the success of the socialist state.
Look, come on.
It's true.
No, it's not
true.
Because those problems
religion,
were there
religion,
before.
Religion is what is one of the corner things that inspire people first to question the earth, to question earthly authority, to question the actions. Morality is tied to religion. If you can do something against religion, you can manipulate morality.
Okay, first of all, I don't believe that religion is tied to morality, because that's like saying that atheists are automatically immoral, and that's wrong. But what I am trying to say is that I agree that there is anti-Semitism in the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that there is a certain amount of religious intolerance in
mm-hmm.
the Soviet Union, but certainly not to the extent that we hear about it in the U.S. Certainly
okay.
not to the as far as religion.
Now, let me just ask you this, okay? I know a number of people who have defected, okay? And the conditions that I talk about are based on secondhand, I mean, a knowledge gained from these very people. Okay? Now, there's no other thing that I can say to you except that these things are really true. People live in tenements. People don't make any money.
Let us look at them without automatically having to tie it with the fact that they're communist,
all these
come out of the woodwork in your conversation.
But listen, okay, look at what happened in Hungary.
Can't seem to be able to separate the two.
Look at what happened in Hungary in 1956. People didn't like what was there.
Look
the tanks
what
came in and killed
the
them.
The Dominican Republic in the 1960s.
Don't give me examples of intervention because
you're going to lose on that number.
Oh, no way, Jack. Look at what happened.
Much, many more interventions than the Soviets have done.
Interventions, they're still there. They rule. When they don't like what's happening, when they feel threatened, they come in with the tanks, they shoot people online.
Well, I don't think tanks are necessarily leftist. Tanks come in when you try to uprise against any government.
Yes.
Tanks are going to be going into Panama.
There you go. There you go, Eric. There you go. Exactly. When you uprise against any government, the people in Czechoslovakia were uprising against Russia, and Russia put them down directly, and they're there. Yes, you gave the clue. When you uprise against the government moves in. They uprose against the Soviet Union. The Czechoslovakian people uprose.
This is what happened. They uprose against
manipulation between the countries of Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union. Of course there is. The Soviets don't want to lose control of Eastern Europe because they're afraid they'll lose their defensive perimeter.
Defensive? Maybe.
Okay.
I would say they're xenophobic. Yes, all right. Go ahead.
But
I'll grant they're xenophobic.
Excuse me. Let me just finish my point.
Sure.
Okay? But you cannot also deny the reality that, first of all, these countries have a certain amount of autonomy, which they do. They don't have to go along with the Soviets in foreign policy. They don't have to go along with the Soviets in domestic policy, to a point.
Okay. Okay. May I have to do have to point out that last year, all right, was it last year? Maybe a few years back. Honecker and the what's his name, who was in charge of Poland, wanted to make a trip to Bonn. After a trip to Moscow, they canceled. Right, boom. This year, Honecker went to Bonn, and it was after known conferences in the Soviet Union. Okay?
So he was influenced by Soviet policy. I don't think that's surprising.
He went there for permission.
Now, look.
You could interpret it that way, yes.
You can interpret it that way. You've been interpreting these things as being, you're saying 1 plus 2 is automatically 1. You can't jump that far. I'm saying if we're going to look at problems in any country,
mm-hmm.
we've got to examine them situation by situation so we can get a realistic picture of what we're dealing with historically and what we're dealing with in the present day. You can't just automatically say, well, he went to Moscow before he canceled his trip. He was ordered to do it or they throw him in prison. You know, that's a massive leap. You're missing a whole lot of facts in there.
Well, it's that statement is made taking into account the history of the country. I mean, you don't have to, I mean, it's the history of the country is littered with examples. I mean, there are plenty of
this country is littered with examples like that.
There are plenty of
say this country is undemocratic and repressive. I'm sure you wouldn't.
You mean officially? Officially, no. I mean, things happen on a personal level. The Ku Klux Klan is not a government organization.
Happen on a state level here.
Like what?
Just
like
as
what?
Repressive as your examples.
Okay, like what?
Oh, come on.
Okay, but just give me one. I mean, it's America. I mean, it's easier to... Just say one thing that happens around here.
To any fifth grade American history book and you'll see examples, okay?
Yeah, what I see are omissions, but like what? Like, you mean the American Indian is treated?
Look, the American Indian was erased. He was erased. He wasn't treated. He was erased. Okay, that was genocide.
Mm-hmm. For the most
that's
part,
that's beside my point.
That's a black spot.
If you're going to look at the Soviet Union
mm-hmm.
or the United States
mm-hmm.
or any country in the world,
mm-hmm.
you've got to look at that country's individual situation,
mm-hmm,
individual history,
yeah, absolutely,
individual present conditions.
I completely agree.
To come up with logical conclusions without attaching these stereotypes.
I completely agree. But,
okay?
but
if I was to come to America,
mm-hmm.
if I was to look at America, let's
mm-hmm.
say, and I was to say, well, America is this and that,
mm-hmm.
simply because of the way that it's organized,
mm-hmm.
maybe I'd be right.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to reach a proper conclusion about
mm-hmm.
it, I would have to break it down
mm-hmm.
and understand myself and understand where I'm coming from
mm-hmm.
without automatically jumping from one conclusion to another.
Okay.
Simply because of the way that the place, the way that I perceive the place or the way that I've been taught to perceive the place.
Okay.
You have to understand that everything, as far as their policies are concerned in the Soviet Union, they have given some pretty, not for everything, of course, but for some of their policies, they've given some pretty convincing reasons for doing certain things.
Like Afghanistan? Were they threatened by the people in Afghanistan, like they say? Do they perceive a threat from a bunch of guys, from a bunch of goat herders?
Unfortunately, Americans don't get the truth.
A bunch of goat herders in Afghanistan?
About America's relationship with Afghanistan before the Soviet Union.
Wait a second. I want to change. I want to say something, Eric. You
about go ahead. The Russian troops.
Hold on a second. We only have like a minute left. All right. I just want to say this thing now. Statements about the Soviet Union that I make are based on personal reports. For example, we have an example of a friend of mine, father lawyer, mother engineer, uncle mathematician. Uncle works on a navigation system, okay? On a navigation system for a ship, okay? The mother is an engineer, the father's a lawyer. In this country, you know how that in a free society, you know that economically,
it's free for some people.
These in a free society, these people will be making some good money. Okay, you have a lawyer making equivalent of $100 a month. The engineer making equivalent of $200 a month. And the person working for working for a navigation system for the Navy is making like $1,000 a month. Well, because they're it's not because it's a free market that's deciding these things. These things are programmed. Look at the sports colleges. Look at what Lendl says. Look at Ivan Lendl. He says people would come around, examiners would come around, measure his bone structure, measure him, decide. They decided he would play tennis. He says this himself. They came and decided he would play tennis. He had no choice.
Your conversation convinces me that you're going into this with certain preconceived ideas, because for every example you've given me, I can find a mirror example in the U.S.
No way. No, you can't find people being forced to be things.
Yeah.
Forced by a government action
and
sent to the sports.
People being forced to live in the street every night.
They're not forced.
Not forced?
No.
They're doing that out of their own free will, I guess.
Well, I'm afraid we're forced to stop this right now because we have to be off the air in the next minute. But I want to thank you, sir, for calling.
Yes, thank
you.
And I hope we get
it's
to continue
good.
This sometime.
Yeah, maybe in a month or so, 4 to 6 weeks, I'll be back with a show about the evil empire. Hi, Eric?
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot.
We should start these discussions at the beginning of the show.
Well, we didn't. You see, the thing is, this was an evolution. I mean, yeah. We should start at the beginning of the show. I agree again.
See, the reason I picked disintegrating Czechs, I knew I could cover that in 10 minutes, but talking about Western civilization and the Soviets and everything, that's going to take a couple hours.
To encapsulate the world situation, at least.
But I'd just like to say, for my own part, that I don't know. I don't know if they're really the threat that we think they are. I think there's more of a threat from real crazy people. I don't want to say crazy people, but crazy governments, like in the Mideast, Iran, Iraq, Libya, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Imagine if the Soviets were like that.
I'll just tell you what.
Wouldn't
they
be much more of a
threat
then? You
know why Khrushchev lost his job? Because he stood up and said, "We will bury you."
Well, banged his shoe on the table. I think that didn't help.
That's why he lost his job, because he gave the game away.
Yeah, well, he
gave it away with a simple statement. I mean, they've stated repeatedly over.
But do you think Gorbachev wants to bury us? Think so?
Oh, definitely. I mean, he's a certainly
a lot of people want to bury
Gorbachev
guy. Over there.
Yeah, you know why? Because he's forcing them to work. I mean, I like it. He's actually forcing them to do work and earn money. But the problem is, and he's getting a lot of resistance. But the problem is, when they start realizing the benefits of labor, he's going to have a lot of, and free enterprise. He's going to have a lot of trouble on their hands. He has a whole nation that for 70 years has lived on the dole, and they like it. But when they start realizing what they can have by working for it, their system is really going to be into some changes.
Well,
all right,
it's something to sit back and watch.
Yep.
And I guess we'll be doing that.
But just remember, I just want to say one more thing. Remember, Gorbachev may look like a nice guy, but remember, he's working for his country.
Well, we'll see what he does in the next.
Okay.
Next few years, or however long
he lives, yeah.
Time for us to go. This is Brain Damage. We'll be
Capozzi
back again.
Capozzi and Capozzi will be coming on.
The Capozzi brothers are on within a, what is it, an abbreviated show?
Are people to da 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 da.
Now, do you guys have an abbreviated show tonight because of the daylight savings?
It's going to be a daylight savings extravaganza.
What time?
Extravaganza.
2 o'clock is when we move the clock.
Benvenuti all'extravaganza.
We have a 2:30 appointment somewhere. Sorry.
2:30 in the morning.
It doesn't happen.
What happens at 2 o'clock on this station? What are we
going
to do?
We're going to power surge.
They're going to convert to three.
Power surge joined in progress because it begins at 2:30, right?
Right, you could say that.
Yeah. So we'll be cutting off your show early at 2 o'clock and joining power surge in progress at 3.
That's correct.
Okay, that should be interesting to listen to. I'm always curious as to what happens when the time gets changed.
We've been doing it for a few years now.
That's right. You always end up doing this because you're on Saturday nights.
It's a really wacky night. I love it.
It's the wackiest night, it's the wackiest night for the Capozzi twins.
We'll be back again next week. In 2 weeks, tune in when we have our special train program with me, Jim Wiener, and Mike Juhas.
When is a clock like a train?
When?
When it's 2:22.
Right. Well, it's 12:03, we're running late. Actually, do you guys have a record? Do you guys have a record? Because we only have about 10 seconds left in this.
They have a Sterling record. Their record is spotless.
I can go into a promo or something.
Yeah,
or a sound effect. Or anything else you might
want. I think you should do the Swedish Fiddler's ID.
Yeah, do that.
Well, we've been hearing enough of the Swedish Fiddler's. Okay.
The Swedish Fiddler's legal ID.
Well, let's let the outro finish, and then we'll do that.
Yeah, hello. This is Björn Johansson of the Swedish Fiddlers. Whenever I'm fiddling around Stony Brook, that's a little joke there. Whenever I'm fiddling around Stony Brook, I listen to WUSB Stony Brook. Oh, that's a bit redundant, but I listen to it, and you listen to the Capozzi brothers, too. Oh, Capozzi and Capozzi, that's redundant, too, yeah.